All right. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The Steelers are in pads, but it's going to have to wait because there's thunderstorms in the area. What do you know?
Got to get ahead of the Doppler, Pony.
And
what are we doing?
Doppler has been a tricky one so far. That's the voice of Malzy. He, unlike Mitch Keller, not playing golf. Keller says he'll be playing golf on Thursday during the trade deadline stuff. Malzy back from his golf sojourn. Donnie is here one last time before he heads off to La Trobe for back-to-back training camp shows. Jack isn't off. He is here with us manning the phones for the next 4 hours. We have two tickets to see Chris DeStefano at the Byam Theater. Again, he's a very popular comedian. We've confirmed he was not in the Tom Brady roast, but he's done other big comedy specials before that you might have seen. And we have those tickets to give away probably in the next few minutes. So Jack is already standing by to take your calls on this opening topic. What's going on with the Pirates? Still nothing. All quiet on the Western Front because they're out west. And there was a book called that, and it was about World War I, and it was boring as hell. But everybody had to read it in high school, and I'm sure Mueller probably read it like in the last 2 years because you're a nerd about stuff.
Hold on. See, this is where you do some really interesting tradecraft. You know I read it because I privately told you
He's
I was reading it.
Go back and reading these books, Donnie.
No. But here's the
What's
thing.
What's next? Catcher in the Rye? I mean,
never read it in the first place in high school. Didn't
so
read
what?
It.
Why would you go back and read these boring-ass books?
Because I find war books interesting. I do.
What else? Name another war book you've read.
Storm of Steel by Ernst Jünger.
Name a third war book you've read.
The Great War in Modern Memory by Paul Fussell.
Okay.
Those World War I boys, man, trench foot was not to be trifled with, dude. You want to hear some hideous depictions of what those
Next
guys were going
Malzy,
through.
Next up from Malzy, Grapes of Wrath. On the August reading club list, To Kill a Mockingbird.
My mom used
of
to teach that
Mice and
book
Men,
a lot.
Donnie, your favorite.
Oh, I love that
guy.
One.
How about Flowers for Algernon? That's a big time
How about
bummer.
The one where Piggy gets killed?
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies.
You ever read Flowers for Algernon about the guy who takes the drug to become smart and then the woman who likes him when he's dumb?
How about the
he's
book?
He's like, I can't relate to you anymore, and he dumps her?
I don't
real
know that
sad,
one.
Real sad
How about
stuff.
The one with the old man on the cover?
What, The Giver?
The Giver. You know exactly what
Wait,
I'm talking about,
what
baby.
Was it? I always got that one confused.
What was his deal? What was going on with The Giver?
What's that all about? What
I
was
forget
his deal?
That one. That was like a seventh
Wasn't
grade.
There one that was The Giving Tree, and it was a tree that this little
yes,
punk ass just withered to nothing?
That's a kid's book, though. That's a
okay.
2 minute before
the Giver,
bedtime book.
The Giver, I remember. And then Grapes of Wrath, got quizzed by it. Sophomore year, Pony, last thing I'll say, the late, great Mr. Stutz, also my cross-country coach at North Catholic.
Mr. Stutz.
R.I.P. in peace, of course. He did not tell us, because every other chapter of Grapes of Wrath is that stupid turtle crossing the road, that description.
Yeah, never had to read it.
He didn't tell us that we were only being quizzed on the actual plot, so you had to labor through those horse crap chapters right. And not even be quizzed on them, Don.
Pirates still haven't traded Keller. What's the holdup? Now Noah Hyles is saying he's not going to get traded. He's going to join us at 2:35. This is fluid. Maybe by the time Noah's on, Keller will be cleaning out his locker at... it's not Pac Bell Park anymore. I don't know what they call it out there. It's changed names
Just
a million times.
Just call it Pac Bell Park. Who cares?
Anyways, I agree with Starkey on something today. I heard him coming in. He was in a lather because he was mad that he missed the skiing stuff yesterday.
The YouTube commenters want to give both of us, even though I wasn't on the show yesterday, credit about how well we prep and you prepped because you had that and Joe didn't even know it had happened.
Right. You know, Donnie really didn't know what happened either until I played it. So,
why did you throw him under the bus, though? We were all under the pony umbrella.
Everybody was in the dark except Zane Grilly, who had, I'd heard it coming home from the game. That's why I had it. So, I'm going to get this out there about Keller. And I think Joe intimated this. I don't want to put words in his mouth, though, because Joe gets mad at me when I do that, as he should. I don't want the Pirates to trade Keller. But I think that he is extremely overrated. I don't think he's very good. I think he's a slightly above average pitcher. And I hear our listeners and I hear some of our hosts act like the Pirates have some like season changing arm on their roster for a team that's going to be the difference between winning a World Series and not. Like, fans don't want to part with him because they think they have a precious commodity.
Okay.
I looked up his numbers before the show just to make sure I wasn't lying to myself or kidding myself. 3.69 ERA, which is better than average. If you look at Mitch Keller over the last 4 years, since he fixed himself. I heard Donnie driving home. I'm apparently listening to the station nonstop with a wife and kid. Donnie last night gave the Pirates credit for making sure Mitch Keller did not turn into Tyler Glass now here. And I agreed with that. You know, he looked like he was going to be another one of these pitching busts. I hate to say this about Mitch, but he used to pretty much cry on the mound.
Oh, we ripped him in his early days, Pony. We both did, because we've been on the air together for the entirety of his career. We ripped him for how mentally soft is not the right word, but it probably is the right word that he used to be.
He would break down.
He would have horrible innings and couldn't get out of them.
But I went and looked at the numbers. He's not better than, for example, Jose Quintana.
Are you talking about the last 4 years from 2020?
Yes, well, I'm talking about since Keller's been a good
pitcher. Since he bottomed out.
Yes.
So OPS plus, nice number we use, 100's average for hitters.
You mean ERA plus.
No, I'm saying for hitters it's OPS plus. For pitchers it's ERA plus, 100's average, above it's good. Those 4 years where he's fixed himself, and more to your original point, that he's become this super high-end pitcher or higher-end pitcher.
He's not a super high-end pitcher. That's the point I'm making.
That I know, to your point, to illustrate your point as being correct, that I, unfortunately, for the purposes of discussion, agree with you and Joe. His ERA plus is 105, man. Like, on a really good team, he's a very good kind of arm to have in the fourth or fifth starter spot.
He doesn't strike out anybody.
He's not a stud. He's not Paul Skeens.
He doesn't strike out people, which scares the math guys because they're always concerned about balls in play and that average going up or down or fluctuating. And the other thing is, I know Donnie's going to disagree with this because I've heard his buck. Again, why am I listening to the station so much? Craig should put a meter on me.
I'm not allowed to do that.
Thank you. Quality starts are over effing rated. Another thing that's so overrated. Who cares that you go six innings and give up three runs? That's a 4.50 ERA.
What would you rather have, five innings, no runs, or one run, or 6-3? I know what I'd rather have in the era of bullpens.
You just said it. It's fewer runs.
Right.
Yes.
Fewer runs and one fewer inning. I'd make that trade. Even five innings and two runs,
I'd make that trade. It's a horrible stat because it's not quality to me.
Well, when did that benchmark come into play? In the steroid era?
I don't know.
I think that more
It's a made-up stat. It's
but I think it got talked about back in like the late 90s and early 2000s when if a guy had a 4.50 ERA, he probably was like an above-average
pitcher. It's like Antonio Brown's 6-60 streak.
5-50.
5-50, whatever it was. Exactly. I don't even remember it because it was made up. So the only reason why I don't want to trade him is because I don't trust the guy running the team. As soon as that guy is gone, I want them to immediately trade Mitch Keller. Yeah. Because from the sound of things, Pirates fans and people around baseball think he's better than he actually is.
How much of it do you think is connected to the idea that because he's going to be like a 2.5, 3-win pitcher this year?
So is Bailey Falter.
I understand that.
No one does.
I was going to say that.
No one Bailey goes Falter, crazy for him, and he's a lefty.
Bailey Falter, I think, has better stuff than Keller. He could touch like 99 if he really wants to. He's a lefty, like you said. I do think there's this perception, maybe outside the Pirates, for like the journalists or people who cover the sport and whose best interest it is to tout the Pirates as having a chance, that Keller is part of a future winner. No, Bubba Chandler should be part of a future winner. Like, you can make a much better case that Bailey Falter should be around longer term.
I mean, unless teams are looking at Keller, and this I can't argue with, and thinking, all right, he's good for the Pirates, nothing more, nothing less. We get him here, and we'll make him even better. The same way the Rays did with Glasnow, and now the Dodgers. The same way every team post-Pirates pretty much did with Charlie Morton up until now, because he's in his 40s, and he's probably should be retired. I can name more guys who seemingly every year, Jameson Taillon, what he's done post-Pittsburgh, Joe Musgrove, what he did in San Diego after leaving here.
No hitter.
Yes. So in that respect, like, if that's the basis for wanting to give up more for Keller because you think he's barely scratched the surface 29 years old, I will respect that. But the Pirates treating him like we need to get, you know, the best prospect in another team's organization for him, or a really good major league hitter right now.
How much more valuable, if at all, do you see him as Bednar, who does, to his credit, appear to be lights out again? He's more starting pitching, average starting pitching theoretically should be more valuable than all but the most elite bullpen arms.
It is, because five or six innings is still more valuable than one or two.
I guess my point is, if he was like a really high-end starter, I wouldn't even ask that question, and you would say, stop it, Malzi, that's not even worth talking about. But Bednar's been so good since he came back early in the season that I think you can at least ask the question because Keller's not good enough to make it a farce. I have this from Donnie's landlord, though. I want to ask you this because I think you, just to restate your part of your thesis, he said Pony is actually inflating the argument for trading Keller now because if he thinks this is might be as good as he gets, then you got to trade him now.
I didn't say that.
To be clear, though, your argument is you don't want him traded because you don't want Ben Cherington making a single move.
Yes, if it
just
were
to be clear.
Yes, if it were Matt Arnold, hey Arnold, Arnold Palmer, somebody else, not named Ben Cherington, I would want him traded right now because they have too many arms and barely any bats. So that's what I was going to ask you guys. Do you want them to do you not want them to trade Keller because of Cherington or because you actually think he's an important piece for them moving forward? It sounds like you agree with me, Chris.
I had the following sentences written down and I'm just going to read them very quickly cuz you'll both laugh. Just my notes. In theory, if you're a competitive team, he's a useful piece who's getting market value more or less like for what he does. And then I just wrote down though, I don't actually believe that. I don't really want him to be kept. I would want him to be traded, and the only argument for not trading him is Ben Cherington gets to be the one who makes the move. So you and I are probably dead on in lockstep about Mitch Keller.
Donnie, you want to make a 3-for-3? Or do you want to stick up here for Mitchie boy?
I mean, I think Mitch is a solid player, but it's all because I don't trust the guy making the moves. That's entirely the reason why I don't want him to get traded, because I don't trust Ben Cherington to get an actual worthy return.
I hear a loud fan.
Well, yeah, because the AM controls the AC in this place, and we're just keeping it like St. Barnabas, I guess.
Oh, no.
St. Barnabas!
Oh, no! No!
That is a shot
I
at
hate
old
hearing
people
that.
Being cold-blooded.
That's going to be a jump over there to change things up once we go to break.
Okay.
Yes, there is a fan.
So, is this, maybe I misjudge things, is this a consensus among Pirates fans that Pirates fans really do want to get rid of Mitch Keller, but they don't want him traded because the GM sucks at his job? 412-928-9370. Or do you actually think Keller is really good and somebody they need to keep around to eventually, I can't believe I'm going to say this, win? 412-928-9370.
I have Mitch Keller going to the Blue Jays for two reasons. Number one, the stuff and the performance is great. He's locked up long term. And considering that Max Scherzer and Chris Bassett are going to be free agents, considering Kevin Gausman has another year left and this rotation could turn over almost completely in that period of time, having a good starter locked into a reasonable contract would be worth the prospect spend that it would cost. And it, the cost would be hefty, as it should be, because Mitch Keller's a guy.
All right, here is the juicy part about that. That's Jeff Passan on Sportsnet in Canada. He goes up there. That's their ESPN. Or no, it's not.
No, TSN's their ESPN.
It's their FS1 or whatever. Or maybe it's not. It's their.
So is there a Canadian Nick Wright by this logic then?
Oh, God. I really hope not for their sake. By the way, you can listen to us on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us on YouTube, 93.7thefan.com, all those places, the Odyssey app. So he's on there and he says, I've got Keller going to Toronto, 2 days out from the deadline. And Hiles is going to join us. Noah's going to be on here in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts. He's out in San Francisco with the team. He said last night he doesn't think Keller's going to get traded now. Well, Jeff Passan disagrees, and it's close. I mean, I think Noah does a great job with the Pirates, but Passan's about as big as it gets. He's the Adam Schefter of baseball. The rumored player who the Pirates would be getting back for Mitch Keller is a 19-year-old shortstop named Arjun Namala. He was picked in the first round by the Blue Jays in the Paul Skeens draft. Here's an interesting tidbit about this guy. He is the highest drafted player of Indian descent in any major sport. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey. 19 years old from Florida, shortstop.
So from Florida, though.
What do you mean?
Wait, you said...
Indian descent, is in his family's from India.
Okay, I would. Here's the only other.
Yeah, his family's Indian.
Where was I? Know this guy? I don't think he was drafted in the first round.
The Pirates had that movie about the Indian guys, right, Donnie? One of them was a professional wrestler after he pitched for the Pirates. What was the name of that movie?
Wasn't
John Hamm,
like the Golden Arm, or something?
The Golden Arm, and then the guy turned into a jobber wrestler, right? Wasn't any good.
Just a dude. Rinku Singh and Dinesh Patel, I think it was. Nazem Kadri, not Indian, is he different?
I don't know.
Because he's seventh overall.
Well, apparently he's not, Chris, because that's the factoid
guy. His grandparents were born in Lebanon.
Charrington was talking on Sunday with Zangrillion, the others, about how he would, if the best they could get back was a guy who was in the low level of the minor leagues, they would do it because they wouldn't pass up the talent. And he's got a history with the Blue Jays because he worked there, and a lot of his buddies still run that
team. The history of the Blue Jays thing bugs me. Doesn't it bug you? Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, we all know each other here. Let's do this deal, sure.
Well, it's easier to make trades with people you know. I mean,
wonderful.
What, you've never played fantasy football before? Of course you have.
But you got
to... There are certain guys you know. It's easier for you to make a trade with fake John and Robinson than it is some jabroni lawyer you don't know.
That is true, but it doesn't mean I'm automatically going to get a good deal out of it. We're both still trying to make a deal that helps.
You might also feel the opposite, though. Like, you're not going to get ripped off because this person actually likes you. Look, I'm not trying to make... I'm not trying to rationalize trades made by Ben Charrington, but
I would think you would hate the idea of him trading with the Blue Jays. You would just feel like he would be cutting them a deal.
Chris, almost. I don't feel good about him making a trade with 29 teams, let alone a team he knows. I can't state that enough.
I know. I just I guess I just have this.
I think there's
bias.
A lot of people. Kabali almost broke a chair on the showdown Sunday night. He was getting so upset about how. The Pirates, he thinks, this is just his random ass opinion, that they have the clearance or the license to trade guys like Keller and Bednar and get players back in the trade who are 3 or 4 years away. You trade for a 19-year-old, he's not going to be here for another 3 years.
If you're lucky.
He might never play with Paul Skeens.
Odds are actually decent that he'll never play
with Paul Skeens. But that's the best quote-unquote young player that Toronto's got. And Passan said that the Blue Jays are the team he thinks the Pirates are gonna trade Keller to. So connect the dots there.
I don't know. Every time I just see the Blue Jays pop into one of these, I guess my spidey sense goes the wrong direction. I'm like, man, I don't want him trading with people he knows. Because here's how cynical I am, I guess. I think if Ben Charrington's making trades but can't necessarily just save his job with great trades, like say the team craters and he actually gets fired, where is he most likely to go right back to?
A team like that or the Cubs where he has Theo Epstein friends? Yeah, you're right.
Because you could also, if you had any inkling that you might be fired, even if you did a good job at the deadline, you might be more inclined to trade a player to a team that you might then rehire you. Hey, remember when I traded you Mitch Keller and it helped you win the AL East?
Donnie, does that offend your baseball sensibilities that the best player coming back would be a teenager?
That would be tough to swallow.
Look, let's say you're on the air at Sharky's this time, Thursday.
Sharky's is tomorrow. It's live casino on Thursday.
You're at live and you hear the buzz of the casino. We know how raucous it gets over at the Rivers on Thursday.
Very.
And you've got all this craziness going on. And, it's one of these trades that trickles in late. It got filed at 5:58, but we don't find out about it until 6:30. Mitch Keller's been traded to Toronto. And the best guy coming back is a 19-year-old. Are you going to be pissed off in that moment?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy because I feel like you have to get somebody that's either very, very close to the major leagues or already in it.
Well, just here's...
Maybe
here's,
somebody else. If you're telling me it's a one-for-one and they're getting a 19-year-old who's
playing
in high A Vancouver.
Let me ask
who's
you...
Who's hitting 230, by the way.
Is he really?
His OPS is 724.
Wow.
Vancouver, isn't that... No, it's not at elevation, so it's not inflated numbers, you would think. Let me ask you both this. They grade prospects on a 20 to 80 scale in baseball. If you...
Yeah, Donnie's right. The guy is having a crappy season.
Okay, pick one of the two things that you would get in a Mitch Keller deal as the centerpiece player. A guy whose overall ceiling, everyone agrees, he's 19, but his overall ceiling is maybe he's a 65 on the 20 to 80 scale, which is a pretty damn good baseball player.
Yeah.
or a guy whose ceiling is a 50 to 55, but he's a AAA and would be in the majors right now if he wasn't blocked or something. It's basically a bird in the hand or two in the bush kind of thing in terms of potential. What would you rather have?
Well, I'd rather have that because I feel like the farther away they are, the more the Pirates can screw up in terms of that guy's development.
Okay. I mean, that I just asked the hypothetical there because I think I agree with you, but I wanted to hear what you would say.
Cody is in Moon. He's on the fan. Hello, Cody. Hi, Cody.
Cody might be on the moon at this point.
Tom is in Monroeville. Oh, hello, oh, Tom.
There we go.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're great,
hi, Tom.
Okay, I just want just bear with me a couple of moments. I'm an avid Pirates fan. I've called your show before.
Great.
I'm going to vent for a couple of moments about the state of the Pirates. First of all, I love Paul Skeens, but I'm tired of hearing about him as the only thing the Pirates have to sell. I'm tired of hearing
about because it's the only thing they have to sell. That's the point there, Pony. Anyway, well, Tom, keep going.
Fair enough. And that's what I'm leading up. It's kind of embarrassing. I swore I was going to stop watching the Pirates before the All-Star break. I'm back in. I'm addicted. I'm 78 years old. I love baseball. But this management, this Charrington, this owner, they've got to go. And I know you have no control over it, but there's got to be some way to force Charrington out, because I agree with you guys. I wouldn't want to see him make a trade, but you can't sit there and do nothing, as Joe Starkey said this morning. You just can't do it. You got to do something.
Wait a minute. Why, though? Why can't you do nothing?
Because you need bats, and even
he doesn't know how to find them.
You could trade the guy in the offseason if you fire your GM and wait, and then you trade him in the offseason. There's at least some people on the inside of baseball, Tom, who think that's where you'd get a better return for Keller, believe it or not.
And you know what? And you could be absolutely right, but I didn't want to repeat Spencer Horowitz. I don't hate Spencer Horowitz, but And I got to apologize to Tommy Pham on the air because I downgraded him all year to turn it around.
You really don't have to apologize to Tommy Pham. Yeah, you're a baseball. You're an addict. You love baseball. He does. Yeah. Wait. I'm sorry. Does he love Chris DiStefano though? That's probably the.
I don't know if
question.
Chris DiStefano. I feel like Tom is a guy that likes to laugh.
And if DiStefano goes in there and he's pulling no punches, Tom will appreciate.
Yes.
The approach.
He doesn't seem like a PC guy.
We really do not have to.
Do what?
We do not have to. Hear anybody apologize to Tommy Pham on this show. This is an apology free zone. Although my God, he really is.
He went from
I know.
He went from April 28th to the middle of June without an extra base hit. And you've said, well,
he's a keratoconus sufferer like me.
Yes, but why weren't the Pirates and why wasn't he doing more to fix his eyes?
Great question.
Why didn't he really report to them, "Hey guys, I don't think I'm doing well cuz I can't see."
Really great question, one I've often thought about with Lima Swede, but then it goes to the other end of the spectrum. Are you guys aware Steph Curry used to shoot at a blurry hoop for years and then got his eyes fixed?
I did not know that.
He had like blurry vision. He was shooting at what he could not really see well as a hoop, which is
preposterous. Until what age?
This happened in like the last 3 or 4 years, I think, which is just mind-bending to me.
Here is Mac in the South Hills. Hello.
Tony, what's up, Mac?
Is this Chris Mac?
No, Mac, I called yesterday when you were talking about Paul Skeens.
Yes.
I just want to say about trading Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
And I understand he's 1 year removed from the All-Star game, but Mac, this is where I weigh in at. Yesterday we were talking about Paul Skeens and how he took a leadership position to come out and basically speak about the state of the Pirates. And my whole question was like, where's Mitch Keller at? You know, like, where's his voice at? And you guys touched on, you know, how he used to have breakdowns and things like that. He's not really like a leader to me. And that's really where I fall at with my opinion on why we should trade him.
All right, thanks, Mac. Wait on hold. We got something for you coming. Time for a Bucko Minute with the top dog. On the Pirates beat, Noah Hyles, Post-Gazette. He's in San Francisco, where he watched Mitch Keller start last night on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. By the way, listen to whoever's hosting Pomp and Joe on Wednesdays. Tomorrow at noon, you can find out about Starkey's Card of the Week, brought to you by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. 93.7thefan.com is where you enter that contest. All right, Noah. We've been at this for a while now, for weeks. You have told us things like, more likely than not, Mitch Keller is going to get traded. You wrote something to the contrary this morning. Explain the new information and why you think Keller is now going to stay put with the Pirates.
Yeah, from my understanding...
By the way, very nice hotel room.
Thank you. From my understanding, it sounds like the Pirates are trending more toward looking to move Keller in the offseason. I think that they still believe they can get a big league bat for Mitch Keller. And it's just, you know, that's a tough thing to acquire from a team that's looking to win a pennant. That's a team that's fighting for the postseason. Typically, those teams aren't looking to give away young, controllable hitters. So unless they're blown away, I think that Keller's going to stick around here for the remainder of the season. I still don't think there's a high likelihood that he's on the opening day roster next year.
What's your definition of blown away?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an exact definition, but I think that they want to move Mitch Keller for someone they know can be an everyday starter for them, someone who has established success. I don't think they want Mitch Keller for just a top 100 prospect. I think if they get multiple top 100 prospects, that could sway them. I don't know for sure. But I think the goal for Mitch is to move him for a hitter equivalent of who Mitch Keller is as a pitcher. And teams aren't giving that up mid-season. So I think their stance is, let's hang on to him. Let's try to move him in the offseason, where teams are far more likely to move that type of asset because they can reconstruct their lineup through free agency or other trades compared to now, where their options are limited.
How cognizant, Noah, are the Pirates of the fact that Keller's value in some ways could be less in theory in the offseason if other teams who are contending now stop contending and look to deal assets in the offseason, similar to Keller, where he might not be the obvious, most capable starting pitcher on the market? And also, how cognizant are they of the fact that he has faded as a career kind of theme in the second half, in the late months of seasons, the last 2 months of seasons, to the point where he doesn't look like nearly the same pitcher? Because I would wonder about both of those variables in making a trade him in the offseason decision versus trade him now.
I think they're cognizant of all of those variables, but I think they have to weigh everything that you just listed versus what is a realistic offer that they can get from Mitch Keller right now. I think, like I've said from the beginning, they set their price for Mitch Keller. And if that price is met, then they will move him. But if they don't think that price is going to be offered, then they have to be prepared to keep Mitch Keller. And if that price isn't offered in the offseason, then Mitch Keller will be a Pirate in 2026 and will do this whole song and dance again at next year's deadline if they're not in contention. I don't think there is a con to keeping Mitch Keller either. Obviously, he brings you in a bat. Like, if he can improve your lineup by moving him, then you should do it. But if you can't get the hitter value equivalent of Mitch Keller, then you should hang on to him because he's still a good player and he has a lot of team control. So I don't think the Pirates are opposed to keeping him. I think they just view his value to be at a certain point. And whenever that value is offered to them in a trade, they're going to make that trade. I just think right now they believe it's not highly likely that they're going to get that value offered to them by Thursday.
So if the Nightingale report is true, you don't think the Cubs dangling their top hitting prospect who's at AAA is enough to get Mitch Keller?
I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what the Pirates are looking for. Going off the logic that I reported, I would say probably not. I think they maybe want something a little bit more. I mean, if it's him and a couple of other prospects as well, maybe that changes. And I know that Owen Cassie isn't a big leaguer yet, but I would feel pretty confident that he'd be one of their best nine hitters in the organization if they were to bring him in. So there's something to consider there. It's just, or maybe this is just a tactic the Pirates are doing to try to drive up Keller's value. Maybe they do intend on moving him, and they're playing hard to get right now, and we see him moved on the final hour before Thursday's deadline arrives. I it's hard to tell, obviously. I mean, all of this is here. You're hearing nuggets here and there, but I think their stance is they want they need an established hitter in this lineup. You can bring in young guys and they're going to try to do that, but the team's really only going to take a significant step forward if they bring in a guy who has proven success as a hitter. And you can do that through trading Mitch Keller. I don't know if there's any other guy that they're willing to part ways with who could give you that type of return. So if that's the case, then you have to stick to that. And if it means passing up an opportunity to bring in a top 50 prospect because he's not as proven, then you have to make that choice.
How much should they get back, or do you think they're going to get back based on what you're hearing if they move, if and when they move David Bednar?
What I've been told is at minimum, they're looking for an organization's top five prospect. I think that's the bar. And I think they're hoping to get a little bit more from that. And you look at the teams they're connected with, that can mean a lot of different things, right? Like for the Tigers, for example, a top five prospect from that organization means you're getting a top 100 prospect in baseball. When you look at the Rangers, they only have one top 100 prospect in baseball, Sebastian Wilcott, and he's not going to be someone they're willing to move for a relief pitcher with just 1 year of club control. So you're probably getting someone a little less established in the prospect rankings. So maybe in that case, you're getting that top five prospect and then something else, maybe a platoon big leaguer that doesn't have a everyday spot on that club. I think they're looking to get, like I said, they're probably going to get something more on the youthful side for Bednar. I don't know if you're going to get the type of return that I described they're pursuing for Mitch Keller. I think they're open to any type of prospect. I think that could even net some pitching talent rather than a hitter for Bednar. And that move, I think, could lead to other moves down the line. If they were to acquire another elite pitching prospect, that could help them make other moves to acquire offense later on.
Is he getting traded? We've heard mixed things on this. Charrington on Sunday started talking about Bednar off the field, which I was shocked by, as if he gives a rat's ass about that. He's a analytics baseball guy. Who cares if he's taking pictures with people outside of a church or an elementary school? And then Zangrilli came on the air and Parado said the same thing, Noah, that Bednar acted Saturday night after he got that save like he was done. Like he was emotional. Yeah. He took pictures, that he was acting like a guy who anticipated this was it for him. So what's your take on the likelihood of him getting traded?
I think he believes it's a high likelihood that he's getting moved. And I mean, from everything that I've heard, it sounds like that's the biggest move they're going to make. Is dealing Bednar. Is there a chance they hang on to him? I think maybe, but I think that chance is rather slim. I just think right now the market's so high on him, especially after Class A is no longer available, that value goes up. And you look at what he would be paid in arbitration next year, it's probably going to be higher than what he's making this year, right? So that adds another factor into it where you can get something for a valuable player and you can create a little bit of room to spend more money in the offseason by doing so as well. So I think it's a move that makes sense. As far as Charrington saying what he said about Bednar, I mean, you got to think this is his number one success story since he's arrived in Pittsburgh. This is the top player. This is the only player that he has acquired through a trade that has made an all-star team since taking over as the Pirates GM. And he's only, I believe, drafted one other guy that made an all-star team, and that's Paul Skeens. So he's got to have a good connection with David Bednar. He has to be appreciative for everything that Bednar has done for the organization and everything that he's been willing to go through, including, you know, getting option, losing his closer role, the way he's handled it all. I think he's just kind of voicing that appreciation because he also knows there's a high likelihood that David Bednar is going to be wearing a different uniform by the end of the week.
Noah, maybe the most important question from Brent in our YouTube comments, who said, "This guy, meaning you, looks like Paul Skeens, doesn't he? He would win a look-alike contest. He just needs stilts." Do you agree? Have you ever been mistaken for a shorter Paul Skeens?
No. I can relay that over to Paul. I don't think he would agree with that. I think we have similar facial hair, maybe. But that's it. I mean, neither of us have like the best hairlines, but I don't see any other resemblance there.
No, last year we had Priester for York, which York's done nothing, and Priester needed to get dealt again, and he's doing well with Milwaukee, but that was kind of unorthodox. Do you give us something maybe out of left field that the Pirates could do tomorrow that's not trading IKF Andrew, or Thursday, trading IKF Andrew Heaney, Tommy Pham because they have to?
I could see a similar move with the same organization. I mean, the Orioles need pitching. The Pirates need hitting. Both of them have a logjam of guys at the AA, AAA level who you look around and you say, well, where do they fit in necessarily? Especially if the Pirates continue to have success in finding, you know, waiver claims and turning them into valuable players and signing these one-year free agents and turning them into valuable starters and relievers like they've done. I think it could make sense if they were to move one of their younger arms, not named Paul Skeens, a guy like Mike Burrows or Braxton Ashcraft. If you could get the hitter equivalent for one of those guys, I think that's worth exploring. I haven't heard any interest on the Pirates' end of doing such a thing. But, I mean, they didn't talk a ton about doing that last year when they moved Priester or when they moved Patrick Riley for Billy Cook. Could we see them do another thing like that this year, a true baseball trade, young, unproven arm for young, unproven bat? I absolutely think that that could be something that gets done. I don't think it's the highest thing on their priority list right now, but I wouldn't discount it.
No Hiles. Go ahead, Mulsey.
I was just going to say, how much does Ben Cherington's performance at this deadline or perceived performance weigh into his job security or lack thereof moving forward? Because I assume the team's performance will be weighed heavily in any decision that's made. But what about the way he handles this deadline, Noah?
I think it'll help if he does well, right? I think the optics of it all are going to play a little bit of a part in it, right? If he brings in someone, if he trades away David Bednar, a guy that he knows his boss really appreciates, right? But Bob Nutting has gone out of his way to prevent Bednar from getting traded before. So if he moves Bednar and the return comes in and
how
does
about that little
look
wait, you kind of just hold on a second.
I've reported that.
Calling a time, calling a 20-second timeout like I'm Jamie Dixon.
Are there more details into that?
Well, I've written that. That's been something I've reported months ago, that they tried to move him earlier and ownership stepped in and said they don't want to do that.
Like how many years, like we're talking years in the past, or like they tried to move him?
My understanding was prior to the 2024 season.
Okay. Very interesting.
So
you, Noah,
this is a guy that the organization has tried to move, but the ownership has stepped in, said, we like this guy. So when you're moving him now, you know that if the return doesn't look good early on, it's certainly not going to help your case. Now, I don't think that that's going to weigh more than other factors, such as the team's overall performance or everything else that's occurred prior to that move, but it certainly won't do him any favors. Whereas if they move Bednar and the trade return looks really good, and that goes for every other move they make. If Cam Devaney comes up and plays better than what Adam Frazier would have played for these last 2 months, then that's going to help him. All of these things. At the end of the day, it comes down to, does this team look like it's going into the offseason just a couple of hitters away from being competitive? And I think if that's the case, and if they continue to play better, then Cherington's safe. But I really do think his future's up in the air right now, and it will be impacted one way or another by the moves he makes this week.
Noah Hiles in San Francisco, man on the scene. Pirates and Giants tonight, trade deadline Thursday at 6. Thank you, Noah.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.